Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, not Oscar-nominated scores of 2023. That is for the Oscar ceremony that's coming up as we record this on March 10th, 2024. We are going to talk about some 2023 release date movies that didn't get nominated, but maybe they deserve to. We're going to hear some very worthy music from the movie year. It also gives us just a chance to talk about more good movies that did interesting things with music. Some of the better movies of the year, even if they didn't get noticed by Oscar. We'll hear music from May-December, from Asteroid City, and of course from a very music-oriented film, Maestro, along with a few small films that sounded great and a couple of blockbusters too. Then for the trailer at the end of the show, we will highlight a song that had a very specific plot purpose in its film. We're going to begin with a track that was designed to be a curtain raiser, so we're going to use it for that purpose ourselves here. The opening moments of the biggest box office smash of 2023, Barbie. And amid that film's riot of pink-shaded social satire and feminist subversion, let us recall that it begins with a rather puckish parody of the opening of 2001, A Space Odyssey. But instead of a mysterious slab that appears to ape men, this time it's a giant Barbie, Margot Robbie, who appears to a gathering of little girls who have only previously played with baby dolls. The music corresponds to 2001, of course, with a twist halfway through. So with apologies to Richard Strauss and Stanley Kubrick, here is the opening music to Barbie. Music from the opening sequence to Barbie, which in the film is accompanied also by the droll narration delivered by Helen Mirren, opening with part of Also Sprach Zarathustra by Richard Strauss, And then, as you heard, cutting to modern credits music by Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt, who did the rest of the score for that film. Just think of how many future moviegoers are going to encounter 2001, A Space Odyssey for the first time and flash back to Barbie and realize, oh, that's what they were doing there. All right, with that out of the way, let's listen to a piece from one of my favorite scores of 2023, a movie that probably opened too early in the year to be remembered at Oscar time, although it did win a big award at Sundance. 1001, debut feature by A.V. Rockwell, which chronicles a decade in the life of a young woman played with fierce authority by Teyana Taylor, who raises a child on her own while trying to stay off the radar of the legal system in which she's run afoul. The music is by Gary Gunn, and in my review of the film, I said Gunn's work is a beautiful and haunting soundtrack that also lends an epic quality. Let's see if we hear that here as we listen to the opening theme from 1001.
Thank you.
music from 1001, composed by a relative newcomer, Gary Gunn. One of my favorite soundtracks of the year, catching some of the indomitable spirit of the movie's flawed but determined heroine. Now, for something by a veteran composer, let us listen to a bit from Wes Anderson's film, Asteroid City, scored by Alexandre Desplat. This movie's soundtrack uses a lot of pre-existing country and western songs, but Desplat comes through with a few original touches that convey some of the otherworldliness of this spot in the Southwest desert where atomic bombs are tested and aliens sometimes land. This cue is titled Opening Ceremony with Awards Presentation, music from Asteroid City. Music by Alexandre Desplat from Wes Anderson's movie Asteroid City, definitely capturing that film's whimsy, maybe a little bit of its melancholy, too. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I am Robert Horton, and we're listening to music from films that were not nominated for the 2023 Oscar for Best Score. Well, to cite another hero of the indie world, Todd Haynes, the soundtrack of his 2023 film May December has something quite unusual going on. Haynes is a postmodern director, borrowing styles and influences and mashing them all together and kind of keeping a detached attitude about it all. And in this case, that extends to importing another film score and reusing it for May December. Haynes uses music by Michel Legrand, the celebrated French composer, from the 1971 film The Go-Between. So it's a straightforward kind of movie score, invokes melodrama in a way that maybe Haynes otherwise tries to avoid in his rehash of the Mary Kay Letourneau scandal. There is also original music in the film, so we're going to hear a little bit of both, a minute or so of Michel Legrand's score, which opens the movie, and then a cue called Elizabeth Drives. That's composed by Marcelo Zarvos, and you will hear how Zarvos runs variations on Legrand's older themes. Thank you. two pieces there from the unusual soundtrack to May, December. You just heard Marcelo Zarvos's relatively modern-sounding track, Elizabeth Drives, which works variations on the track we heard before that, a much more old-fashioned piece of movie music composed by Michel Legrand, whose score from The Go-Between is reused in this film. Well, Emerald Fennell's outrageous film Saltburn is also working different modes and tones. It's kind of a wedding between a traditional saga of the English upper class, like Brideshead Revisited or something, but run through with the perversity of a Patricia Highsmith novel. We'll play a couple of cuts from the Saltburn soundtrack to try to suggest that range. The composer, Anthony Willis, offers a cue titled Journey to Saltburn that wouldn't be out of place in a Merchant Ivory period drama. And then Felix Amica, a cue that sounds much more modern to convey how our out-of-place protagonist finds himself entranced by the glamorous upper-class friend he makes during a year at Oxford. Two tracks from the Saltburn soundtrack, composed by Anthony Willis, rather civilized sound to a film that goes utterly bonkers, and entertainingly so after a certain point. Well, if there was a single film that was the music movie of the year, putting aside actual movie musicals, I suppose it was Maestro, a profile of Leonard Bernstein, and also of his wife Felicia, played by Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan, both of whom got well-earned Oscar nominations. Cooper also directed and took an unexpected approach, somewhat mosaic-like, that avoids a lot of the cliches of the musical biopic. The film, of course, includes quite a bit of Bernstein's own compositions, as well as classical music he conducted, and we are going to hear a little from one of his own works. You will also hear the voice of Bradley Cooper as Bernstein, preparing the choir here. This is Make Our Garden Grow from Leonard Bernstein's Candide.
Okay, so sopranos, you're on the hot seat. Take from bar 44, just the end of Make Our Garden Grow, heading to the acapella. And sopranos, make sure that you make space so that the high notes can soar.
Well, the sopranos really were on the hot seat there. That is Make Our Garden Grow. It's a piece from Leonard Bernstein's Candide, as depicted in the movie Maestro. And you could hear in Bradley Cooper's voice there at the beginning that he really goes big in his portrayal of Bernstein. It is an exuberant, maximalist performance, complete with fake nose and very large accent. And I liked it. I think it fits the character. It's a performer himself who spends his life on stage, even when he's off it. We get another larger-than-life historical character in our next selection, but Joaquin Phoenix decided to underplay the title role of Napoleon, with sort of mixed results, I would say. In my review, I wrote, "This exhausted-looking fellow in the funny hat wanders through history more hapless than world-beating monster." Although Ridley Scott's film does have its weird, oddball moments. Part of that is that the movie is at least as interested in Napoleon's home life with Josephine, played by Vanessa Kirby, as it is in the big battles. So I chose a musical track called Josephine, which I think elicits some of the best work of composer Martin Phipps, a veteran British composer who's done various seasons of The Crown.
Thank you.
music from Napoleon, composed by Martin Phipps. That track titled Josephine, evoking some of the allure of Mrs. Bonaparte, with whom our boy Nappy remains hopelessly in love throughout the film. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we're talking about some movies of 2023 that did not get nominated for the Best Score Oscar. Well, Napoleon is movie making on an epic scale, but we will go smaller with our next couple of films. First one's a critically acclaimed indie that managed to sneak its way into the Best Picture Oscar nominations. Past Lives, written and directed by Celine Song, is a wistful drama about a woman who reflects on a childhood romance and what might have happened if her family had stayed in Korea and she'd continued to know her young beau. The composing team of Christopher Baer and Daniel Rawson devise a delicate score for this story, including this track, An Immigrant and a Tourist. Musical cue called An Immigrant and a Tourist, composed by Christopher Baer and Daniel Rawson for the soundtrack of Past Lives, an Oscar nominee for Best Picture of 2023. Another small film about love, although this one has a science fiction slant, Fingernails takes off from a curious conceit that there's a test that can determine whether couples are going to stay in love, and this test involves yanking out an entire fingernail from each romantic partner. That is the bit of material that gets tested. This is a black comedy, as you can maybe tell, but it also wants to explore the nature of love. Catching that in the music is composer Christopher Stracey, who delivers one of my favorite scores of the year, I think. Here are two brief cues to demonstrate. The first is called Anna. That's the main character played by Jesse Buckley. And then Stairwell.
Thank you.
Two brief selections from the soundtrack of Fingernails, composed by Christopher Stracy. Well, one of the most fascinating scores of 2023 comes from The Zone of Interest, a Best Picture nominee, composed by Mika Levy, whose eerie score blends into maybe the most complicated soundscape of the year. In this gripping film about the Nazi commandant who set up a banal domestic scene in a home just outside the walls of Auschwitz. Do see that film. Alas, the soundtrack has not been released yet as we're recording this, so I'm unable to sample a bit of it. But we do have another kind of horror movie, the more traditional kind, I guess. And here we have an Icelandic composer represented on the soundtrack, Herdis Stefansdóttir. She is relatively new to feature film composing, but I think her work will remind you of some of the Icelandic composers we've spoken of before on this show. It's very gloomy and full of foreboding. This is appropriate for a film by M. Night Shyamalan, who directed the very effective Knock at the Cabin, a film in which a peaceful family idyll is interrupted by the arrival of four strangers who insist that the continuation of humanity depends on a very far-fetched sounding act of murderous sacrifice. That sense of foreboding makes it appropriate to play the prologue from Knock at the Cabin. music from Knock at the Cabin, composed by Herdis Stefansdóttir. Well, another Icelandic composer, the Oscar-winning Hildur Gunnadóttir, came through this year with music for one of Kenneth Branagh's whodunits, A Haunting in Venice. And I think she gets under your skin pretty well with a spooky score that includes this short cue titled Pipes. Icelandic composer Hildur Gunnadóttir there with a cue called Pipes. That's part of the creepy score to A Haunting in Venice. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are taking a cruise through some of the 2023 films that did not get nominated for the Best Score Oscar. We go from A Haunting in Venice to another kind of haunting that's going on in one of the year's best films, All of Us Strangers. In this movie, we see a lonely Englishman, played by Andrew Scott, who visits his old family home to supernaturally discover that his parents are still living there, which is strange because they died in a car accident when he was still young. Director Andrew Hayes' delicate ghost story has a few surprises in store, including a subplot about a man, played by Paul Mescal, who may be a possible romantic match for our hero. Or maybe not. The music by French composer Emilie Leviennes Farouche is appropriately ethereal. It's almost not strong enough to stand on its own, perhaps, but very fitting as an accompaniment to the images. Here's a cue titled Don't Say It.
Thank you.
music from the haunting film All of Us Strangers, composed by Emily Levienne's Farouche, one of the best movies in a year I thought was truly rich in terrific films. And our trailer music is going to lead us to one of my very favorite movies of the year, a lovely deadpan romance from the Finnish director Aki Kaurismäki, Fallen Leaves. If a movie can be both ironic and perfectly sincere, this is it. And Kaurismäki includes his usual collection of oddball gems from the early days of rock and roll on the soundtrack. One song hints at the film's title. It's a Finnish cover of the standard Autumn Leaves, sung by Olavi Virta, who, Wikipedia tells me, was in the mid-20th century considered the king of Finnish tango, which I did not know, although I'm very glad to. That is a very Kaurismäki kind of detail, and here is the song.
Kun saapuu syys, niin lehdet poiston, se hehkumaan sitä loistoaan. Kuin ikävyys, mikä olin muiston, voi synnyttää vaik suru jää. Hetken lehdet tuo, vielä hehkuu, on loisto tuo, jo viimeinen. Ovat muistojemme lehdet kuolleet, ne mennessään vietuloneen. Toivoisin sinunkin muistelevan päiviä kesämme kauneimman. Aurinko hymyili suloisemmin, rinnallas armahin kunnastelin. Kauan tuo kesämme kestänyt ei, pois hallasen kukkaset mei. Kesästä jäljelle jäi muisto vain, polttava kaipuu nyt on rinnassain. Ken muistoja mielessään kantaa, paljon hän voi omistaa, ei niitä voi toiselle antaa, ne syömmen kätkeä saa. Ken lehdet tuo, vielä hehkuu, on loisto tuo, jo viimeinen. Ovat muistojemme lehdet kuolleet, ne mennessään vietuloneen.
Well, you're welcome, people. That was a Finnish language version of Autumn Leaves, a song that has well over 1,000 cover versions, sung there by Olavi Virta, a song written by Josef Kosma. The Finnish lyrics are by Tapio Kulervo Latinen. That is from one of my favorite movies of 2023, wonderful film, Fallen Leaves. We are going to go out today with another pre-existing song that was used on a 2023 soundtrack. This one is actually crucial to the plot because this song is playing during the incident that results in a man's death in Anatomy of a Fall, another Best Picture nominee. The song is called Pimp. It was originally performed by 50 Cent, or 50 Cent if you prefer, and written by 50 Cent, aka Curtis Jackson, Mr. Porter, and Brandon Parrott. but somewhat wackily performed here by the Bacow Rhythm and Steel Band, a German funk ensemble, as I don't need to tell you. In fact, the track is repeated as the story is dissected from different directions, and you can begin to see how the dead husband's incessant playing of this song might have driven his wife, played by Oscar nominee Sandra Hüller, to murderous thoughts. We will leave off there and let you explore some of the films of 2023. I'm Robert Horton. I thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies.